This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. This is the FitCast. June 18th, 2006. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And this is John Williams.
And we are joined by a special guest this week. I know I was teasing everyone on the boards about it, but now you're going to finally find out. He is known for his Turbulence Training workouts that you can find at turbulencetraining.com, and also his articles in Men's Fitness and other fitness magazines as well. And I'm very glad and pleased to welcome Craig Ballantyne. Thanks for coming on, Craig.
No problem, Kevin. No problem.
It's a pleasure to have you on, Craig. Like I said just a second ago, it's finally good to talk to you.
Good. Excellent.
But basically, we're going to just go over the basic outline for this week's show. We have our FitCast news that I'm going to bring up quickly. First off, the new Nike and iPod devices come out that we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. I just ordered one yesterday, so as soon as I get one in, I'll be doing a video episode of the FitCast for that. And also, probably episode number 3 is when I go see Eric. We're talking about doing that in August, so look out for that. Also, the winner of the guest contest was JRuck37, so you'll be getting a free t-shirt. Just thought it would be fun to do Guess the Guest and not let everyone know who's going to be on the show this week. And I was really excited to have Craig on. We already had him on as an interview, but I thought it would be really cool to have him on as a guest host.
Did you pull those names out of a hat, Kevin?
Yeah, we had about 11 winners, and I pulled them out of a hat. I'm sorry for everyone else who didn't get to win the contest, but it's just you can win one contest, and then your name's out of the bunch of the rest of them. So.
Yeah, well, I saw that you saw this all the entries, and I think Kaiser, he was the guest on the first FitCast. Mm-hmm. I think Kaiser had him first. He mentioned his name, but he didn't say that it was going to be him.
He kind of debunked the whole thing. He kind of made it so it was so easy. So
right.
But I mean that was a good fun time. So we poked some fun at some other people in the meantime. But it's all good. And also, again, don't forget to subscribe on the iTunes Music Store and Podcast Alley for the FitCast, and also post some reviews if you'd like to. And actually, I have to ask you, John, is there an update on your friend in her baby T-shirt?
Well, I sent it to her on Monday, almost a week ago now. I haven't heard back from her whether or not she got it, but I'm sure she did in the mail. So the plan is now to have someone take pictures of her in the shirt with a digital camera, send me the photos with via email. So hopefully, if all things go well, she'll be up on the website by sometime this next week. So.
Yeah, just
big news.
Yeah, I didn't want to be killed if I didn't mention it, so I had to ask you.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's going to, you know, she has no idea of all the anticipation of these pictures. You know, she's just like, yeah, send me the t-shirt. I'll pose in it.
Well, we'll keep you updated on the website and also on the boards. If you need any updates for the FitCast and to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. And lastly, I just wanted to mention that actually JP will be on the show next week. He will be our guest, so I know everyone's excited about that.
Super.
He's going to talk a little bit about how the summit came about and how the community for the website has grown so much in the last couple of years.
That's great. You know, I emailed him a few weeks ago whether or not he'd be a guest, and he said, sure. He's such a busy man. He's so hard to get a hold of, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's going to come on next week.
But that's pretty much for our FitCast news. For the shakes this week, I'm just having I'm going back to the peanut butter and chocolate shake from Gourmet Nutrition. I can't get enough of them. And I just had to make another one this week because I just got home from a long day at work, so I needed something satisfying, and that's what I picked out.
Good choice. That's one of the most popular ones. That's one of my favorites, too. You know, my shake this week, I went to the market and noticed that it's strawberry season. Some of my favorite berries are these strawberries. So I put like a handful of strawberries and some cantaloupe into the shake. By the way, I got my shake station set up in my home that I'm just moved into. Everything's still a wreck. I'm actually getting the kitchen redone. I got to have a good kitchen. But in the meantime, it's been sort of hectic. But I did get my shake station set up. So I put strawberries, some cantaloupe, and vanilla muscle milk. And I was hesitant to put in the Greens Plus because I didn't have any of the flavored varieties. I didn't want to sort of ruin it because, you know, I know that this strawberry cantaloupe harmony is quite excellent. You know, I do come from the South, so that's a sort of a, I don't know, I think it's a Southern mixture, strawberries and cantaloupe. But it's an excellent shake. I would recommend it to anyone. Just put in some fresh strawberries, some really ripe cantaloupe, and you don't even need any sweetener. Obviously, the vanilla muscle milk is pretty sweet in and of itself. And, you know, most of the carbs come from these berries, so it's nothing that you need to be worried about, you know, outside of the post-workout window. Good stuff.
Definitely. How about you, Craig? Were you able to make something up for this week for a shake?
You know what? No, I didn't. I haven't had a shake in a long time, actually. I'm pretty much whole foods right now. So I'm really sorry that I don't have anything to add to that.
Well, actually, that might be, in a case, that's a good thing. I mean, it's great to be able to go all whole food if possible. So.
Yeah, Craig, I don't know if you got to hear when John Berardi was on the show, but he's making a super shake. And basically it was whole foods. There's a lot of vegetables and even avocado mixed together in the blender.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It sounded like, I don't know about that, but a lot of people tried it on the forums and they actually liked it. So, yeah.
Yeah, if anybody's going to know shakes better than me, it's definitely going to be John. Yeah.
Wow. But more power to you with the whole foods.
I'm just lucky I don't have to be on the run too much.
Yeah.
That will pretty much wrap it up for the shakes this week. Let's jump into this week's news. The first news article this week is actually one that's been widely out in the news, and that is KFC is sued over the use of trans fats in its cooking. It's kind of a no-crap moment for most people, but this is just an article that was in the New York Times, and many of you might have seen it on the news this week. And basically, on June 13th, a nutrition advocacy group sued KFC to get them to stop using partially hydrogenated oils, a key ingredient in its fried chicken. The oil contains trans fat, which is, as many of you know, the unhealthiest of all fats. The fats has been known to lower HDL cholesterol, or your good cholesterol, and raise your LDL cholesterol, which is the bad cholesterol. And also, in related news, McDonald's is still using a partially hydrogenated oil in its French fries, even though they promised to remove them about 4 years ago. So, great job, McDonald's, on getting that done. But what did you guys think about this article this week? I know it's kind of, give me a break. I mean, you guys didn't know this before you were eating your KFC?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Craig?
I don't know what much to say about KFC, but definitely McDonald's is, they're dragging their heels on it, and they're not doing anybody any favors by, sticking with that method of cooking. So, especially with them pushing their healthy lifestyles. And I caught a commercial on the weekend that McDonald's had put out, and it didn't even show their products. It was just, I'm not sure, it might even been a show. It's just Ronald McDonald going through like workouts with kids. so definitely they're trying to change their image, but their true colors are being shown when they do stuff like not change and stick to their words. So on one side they're trying to encourage activity, which is good, but and they do have some healthier stuff on their menu. I still would need it, but they really should cover all aspects of improving the menu if they're going to say that they are going to.
Right.
I think no matter how good a place like that says their food is, you do have to look at the fact that it's being mass produced, and a place like that is concerned first about making money. So when it comes to that, I mean, the very even Subway, I mean, certainly some of their vegetables seem like they're high quality, but again, they're not obviously not organic because that would make things too expensive, and you know, we all should try and eat organic whenever possible. And also, you know, it's probably not the highest quality produce. So when you can plan ahead and prepare your foods and make your own stuff and take it and try and avoid eating out whenever possible. That's right. Really the bottom line, and it's not the easiest option, but that's the best option.
Exactly. And you know, the libertarian in me is appalled by the news that KFC might be getting sued over this trans fat, because like you said, everybody knows, or everybody should know at least, that a bucket of chicken, deep fried chicken, ain't all that good for you. But you know, I don't see the need really to regulate it. It certainly couldn't hurt in this case, but it is a slippery slope. You know, if that's regulated, then what else can they regulate? You know, and in the name of being healthier for you, you know, they could take creatine off the market, for example, because it's some scary supplement and it's not regulated yet, or they could at least try to regulate it. Like I said, I just think it's a slippery slope, and yeah, there's kind of a simple issue. You know, if you don't want to eat trans fats, don't eat a bucket of chicken. You know, you can't expect that to be healthy for you.
Yeah, the one thing I don't know if you guys ever remember seeing this, but John, you might have. If back in when the low carb was the big thing about five or six years ago, when it was really getting big, KFC actually had a commercial promoting its chicken because it was low carb.
If you take off the crust, right?
I mean, they're like, I don't give a crap if it's low carb. It's still gonna. It's the worst thing you could possibly eat outside,
yeah.
Like in fast food. I don't know if there's worse food that you guys know of that's out there that you can buy, but I think KFC is just number one, even above McDonald's, because at least you can go there and maybe you're not getting fried chicken. But
yeah, I saw that too. The low carb lifestyle at KFC. You know, they probably got some people coming in too, thinking, oh, great, I can eat all the chicken I want now.
Yeah, I kind of like the story you told us last week about the coffee, so.
Yeah, I still have nightmares about that woman, the poor woman. Craig, I was telling last week about, I used to work at Starbucks many years ago as a barista, and she was on a low-carb diet, this customer that came in, and would order a venti, you know, the largest latte, but instead of milk, she wanted the heavy whipping cream put in.
Because
she could eat as much fat as she wanted to. You know, stuff is like liquid butter, so she ended up having like a 5,000 calorie shake, and she would come in every day and order that. You know,
really?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Obviously, she wasn't losing any weight.
No.
John, did you want to do that other story, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll just briefly mention it. I think it'll probably be in some of the larger news outlets soon, sometime down the road. But an article just came out in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the latest issue of it, studying the effects of how men and women process chocolate differently, and specifically the satiety factor of chocolate. In other words, how full people think they are getting after eating chocolate. And basically they hooked up a few men and a few women to an MRI and studied their brains as they were eating chocolate. Or maybe it was just smelling chocolate. Anyway, it did show that parts of the brains lit up differently for men versus women, and those parts they linked to the body's ability to shut off our hunger, this whole issue of satiation. And it seems that women have a harder time feeling full after smelling chocolate or eating chocolate than do men. So, you know, maybe there is something into the sort of common idea that you know, that women really do love chocolate and they have a harder time putting it down than men do. So I just thought it was kind of an interesting little article, and a new one that probably will see some big press coverage soon.
Well, it's bad news for the ladies out there.
Yeah, yeah. Although there are some health benefits to chocolate. A few.
Not if you can't put it down, I suppose.
That's true. It's the you know, the small little portions of it that seem to have the benefits.
But it's so sad.
And the higher quality chocolate too, right?
Yeah, like the dark, right. The dark chocolate.
Like Hershey's
Kisses.
Yeah,
can you actually get that in commercial products, or is that something that that you'd have to maybe buy at a bulk food store? Or?
What's that? The dark chocolate?
Yeah, the good chocolate. Is that still found in stuff like a Snickers bar? Or
I've seen it on the labels for Hershey's bars. I've seen it like
are you serious?
This is health. I'm serious. This is healthy chocolate. I've seen. Go to your local 7-Eleven and look at some of the Hershey products, especially just the plain chocolate bar. I swear to you, it says that, like,
rich
in healthy chocolates. Yeah, yeah, and it says something like that, too.
Yeah.
Poor bastards that are buying this stuff.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, it's just those people, I guess, out there that are going to kind of see, I know, like, we talked about the use of alcohol, as a healthy benefit, just taking these kind of studies and blowing it up and using it as an excuse sometimes, but you just got to be smart about it, I guess.
Right.
But that pretty much wraps it up for this week's news. We're going to jump into a special roundtable because Craig's here, and basically I'll just pass it off to Craig.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. So, as Kevin mentioned before, the turbulencetraining.com is my site, and the training methods that I use. And my goals with turbulence training are to show people how to gain muscle and lose body fat while getting more results in less time so that they can learn how to lose fat faster and cut down their workout time so they can get in and out of gym and out of the gym in half the time is what most people are spending in there right now. Because most people really only need about 3 45-minute workouts per week to help them build the body that they're after because the nutrition part they have to take care of is so important, but they don't need to spend marathon workouts in the gym. So the workouts that I've designed, the turbulence training workouts, are built for the busy lives that we all have today, perfect for moms and dads of young families that need to work out before the kids get up or after the kids go to bed. But at the same time, the workouts variations are also so advanced that they help that young men and women get the beach bodies that they desire. And recently I just updated my turbulencetraining.com website, and I've included a free download report that people can get when they go to the website and sign up, and it's called The Dark Side of Cardio and Other Ineffective Fat Loss Methods. So if you go to turbulencetraining.com and sign up for the newsletter there, the weekly newsletter, you'll get access to that free 15-page report, and I go over some nutrition and supplement and exercise techniques that are generally sabotaging people's fat loss training methods. So that's the information behind Turbulence Training that I wanted to share. And then I'm ready to go into the seminar information if you want me to just go ahead with that.
Yeah, go for it. And I just want to say that also definitely check out the hardcore fat loss workout that came out. I actually got to do a test run of that, and I honestly think it's probably one of your top workouts, easily.
Thanks, Kevin.
Like I just want to
say,
like, I just felt after doing that, possibly just overall, even, I mean, I use a basketball court for an example, but on the basketball court, just, I don't know what it was that I was doing in those workouts, but I just felt like my overall fitness level just took a huge step up just from being quicker, my vertical leap improved, and obviously, I mean, the fat loss, I just think is easily, everyone has to check it out. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because I've done it, and just take a look at turbulencetraining.com, and you should really pick it up.
Thanks, Kevin. That one's actually available through workoutmanuals.com.
Okay.
So I've got a couple of websites on the go. But turbulencetraining.com is one where you can get the free fat loss report, but workoutmanuals.com will have all my workouts, and people can visit that one as well and sign up for the daily newsletter that is available through workoutmanuals.com that I've been writing for a couple of years now.
Awesome.
So last weekend, I went to the first annual Midwest Strength and Conditioning and Rehabilitation Symposium in Chicago. And this is put on by a friend of mine. His name is Dr. Evan Osar. He is a chiropractor. And he put on a great seminar and had a lot of great speakers. So the website for Evan's seminar and for his books and information is fitnesseducationseminars.com. So hopefully everybody has a pen and paper, because I'm actually going to list a lot of websites of the speakers and ones that are worth checking out. So fitnesseducationseminars.com is the homepage for this seminar that we went to, and he's going to run this again next year. So if he, if you're interested, definitely check it out, and he'll probably be putting up information on next year's seminar in the months to come. Some of the speakers included Bill Hartman, Juan Carlos Santana, Brian Grazzo, Tony Reynolds, Lee Taft, and myself. Bill's the first guy I'm going to talk about. Bill, has he been a guest on your FitCast yet or not?
Yeah, he was actually, I think, episode 5-ish, and he actually brought up the fact that he listened to the interview that we did for the show, and he didn't even think that you existed. He was heard so much about you, read your stuff, and was just amazed about how you answer all your emails, and we kind of had a laugh about that on the interview.
Yeah, he and I have corresponded for a while now, so his presentations were great. His website is www.yourgolffitnesscoach.com. And I definitely recommend getting his newsletter, because the information that I found most interesting that he talked about was on shoulder health and training for smaller muscle groups to help prevent rotator cuff injuries and other shoulder problems. And he talked about training the mid traps and low traps, which are generally weak in most people. And he's written about that in his next newsletter. So if you sign up soon, you should be able to get the newsletter in which he talks about this and shows the exercises to train these muscle groups that are often neglected in most people's training programs. And he also talked about exercises that should be avoided. Oftentimes, overhead pressing is generally not recommended for many people, especially those people that sit at a desk all day. And those that do and have been sitting at a desk all day for 10, 15 years, you can really start to see it in their posture and the shoulder mobility. I've trained a few guys exactly like this, and they just have rounded forward shoulders and will eventually come up with shoulder problems. They might not be able to press overhead. So if somebody is a trainer out there listening, just make sure that your training methods are justified. Another exercise that he definitely ruled out of everybody's training programs are bench dips. When, you know, the classic bodybuilder tricep bench dip when you're suspended between two benches, and he really thinks that these can mess your shoulders up. So it's not something that I use in my workouts. And, you know, the last time I did them, I was probably 17 or 18 when I was lifting according to the muscle magazines that I bought back then, and those were copying the bodybuilders in the gym. So do avoid those if you're currently using them. Even if you're a beginner and just have your feet on the floor, just don't put your shoulder in a safe position. So that was the good stuff from Bill. And he is definitely one of the smartest therapists and trainers that I've come across. And most guys that have listened to him or have corresponded with him will agree. So his website, again, is yourgolffitnesscoach.com. The next speaker that I want to talk about was Juan Carlos Santana. He was the keynote speaker on Saturday morning, and he is a man full of energy. His company is called the Institute of Human Performance. And he has a boatload of products on everything from what's called functional training to band training to circuit training. And he was going through just a lot of techniques to help people train large groups and get a lot done in a short amount of time with different circuits and stations, and using bands, medicine balls, stability balls, and all that sort of stuff. So it was some general fitness circuits that he went through, but most noteworthy was his attention, or his motivation, sorry, and just his enthusiasm for what he does. And he is just a ball of energy. So he was a great person to listen to. So if you do get a chance, and you know he's coming to a seminar near you, get a chance and go hear him speak. And the next guy who also is super high in energy is Brian Grazzo. Brian's originally from Canada as well, but now he's based near Chicago and has works in the youth conditioning industry. And what Brian has done, he started a certification for youth athlete training, and he has a website called IYCA.org, the International Youth Conditioning Association is what Brian has started. And there's a certification through that, and he is just one man on a mission dedicated to improving the training of young athletes in the United States and North America and across the world. He was up here in Toronto this weekend speaking somewhere. He's been to Ireland for speaking engagements, and he's basically on a literal world tour, going around and speaking for full day seminars on youth conditioning. Very passionate man about it. That is the one thing about every speaker that was there. What they were speaking on, they could literally speak all day on that topic. So, I mean, everyone was really, all the speakers were really, really into the topics that they discussed. So Brian could talk about youth conditioning and what's wrong with the coaching practices in the United States today and in Canada, and how kids are training too much for a single sport at too young of an age, and so on and so forth. So he has a website, the IYCA.org, for the certification, but he also has another one called developingathletics.com, and that he has a newsletter on that one, and he speaks volumes about improving youth training methods. So Brian Grasso, definitely got to look up, even if you just Google his name, Grasso, and you'll find a lot of information about helping trainers improve their youth sport training programs. The next guy up is Tony Reynolds, and his website is pssathletics.com. Tony's a strength coach in Indiana, and he has a couple of e-books that he sells. I think he has a vertical jump manual. And he's a great strength coach, and he just basically talked about program design and not a whole lot to go over other than just it was a great presentation. It really went through the nuts and bolts of showing the trainers that were there how to improve their training programs and exactly what type of training methods to use for specific goals. Another thing I want to mention about the seminar in general was it was directed for personal trainers. So the first day of it was all about improving their training programs, and then the second day was all about improving their business. So how to make more money as a trainer. And that was a great aspect of the seminar because most trainers don't have any idea about how to properly run a business. And they can really end up in financial dire straits if they try and open up a facility on their own. So that was the second day. But before I get to that information, I also want to mention that Lee Taft was another presenter. His website is sportspeedetc.com, and he is a very passionate man about developing speed training and agility training in athletes, but he also showed the trainers that were there how to incorporate this into training the general population. And Lee's even a couple years older than I am, but he was probably faster than most 22-year-old kids. He was just zipping around all over the place because he uses his training methods, and his training methods are great, and they work. So he has a lot of programs, DVDs available on teaching kids speed for different sports. I think he has base stealing DVDs, basketball speed DVDs, and general athlete DVDs that I've watched, and they're quite good. And his teaching methods are very simple to pass along, and his techniques and drills are great. So Lee was another great passionate presenter, and he's also one of the guys that took a 6 or 7 hour seminar like Brian and condensed it down into 1 hour lecture topic. So these guys could talk all day about what they know. And what I talked about was, of course, my turbulence training programs and trying to show the trainers how to help their clients get more results in less time. And basically my premise is that politically correct programs that you read about on the internet, you know, in light fitness magazines, those things just don't work. You know, as nice as it is to believe that these types of training recommendations help people get off the couch and get into exercise, they shouldn't promise the results that they do. For example, what I'm talking about is when any time you read an article about how a woman can tone her arms by lifting soup cans or water bottles, and then they put a picture of Denise Austin up there, you know, lifting water bottles, but that is not really going to help any woman get arms like Denise Austin. That's not how she got them. So I call that politically correct fitness programs, and I just think that they're lying to the people that read them. And, you know, like stuff like, you know, park your car further away in the parking lot and walk, or walk up. One thing that I saw that made me laugh was an article that recommended walking up the escalators at the mall instead of just standing on the escalator. I mean, that's going to burn like 2 calories, so it's not really going to do anything. The truth is you have to work hard, you have to sweat, and you have to be consistent, but you have to train with intensity, and that's what turbulence training is all about, and that's really what's going to help people change their bodies. Nutrition is very, very important, but it's very simple. As I mentioned before in the shake section, I am a very simple, it's whole natural foods, lean proteins, fruits and vegetables, healthy fats from nuts and fish. Very simple stuff. I also talk about a lot of fat burning myths, such as the fat burning zone, why you don't have to exercise in the fat burning zone. In fact, that's a very inefficient way to lose body fat. It doesn't really matter if you're exercising at a particular target heart rate. What's more important is that you increase your metabolism during the training session and after the training session. And that's accomplished best by high-intensity training, such as lifting weights of about 8 repetitions and doing interval training. And you can get that done in a short amount of time, so you can get more results in a 45-minute session of both weights and interval training than you would by doing a 30 to 45-minute session in your target heart rate for your fat-burning zone. The person that does the weights and intervals is going to get an incredible body. The person that does the fat-burning zone is not. High reps and lots of cardio is another myth that I talked about. High reps don't tone the muscles. What's best is to build muscle with lower repetition, higher weight training, and to do interval training instead of endless amounts of cardio. And another really, really common myth that is pervasive in the fitness industry is that 1 pound of muscle burns 50 calories. So you see that in a lot of these politically correct programs and articles like from magazines like Prevention or on MSN.com. And 1 pound of muscle does not burn 50 calories each day. So, I mean, it sounds so great, and it's a great way to get people into doing exercise, but it doesn't. If you do the math to a guy that gains 10 pounds, then you realize that there's no way that someone's metabolism is actually going to increase by 500 calories per day. Or imagine if a guy gained 20 pounds of muscle, then his resting metabolic rate is supposed to go up 1,000 calories. Well, that's not true. Otherwise, no one would be able to keep on their muscle mass without eating tons and tons of calories. So it sounds great, and it almost seems like it could be true when you think about it in terms of 1 pound of muscle burning 50 calories. But when you do the math at higher numbers, you realize it doesn't make any sense. So that's a big myth that you're going to see probably like 1,000 times in 1,000 fitness articles, but it's not true. And then from there, I talked about why turbulence training is just simple, it's efficient, it's effective, it's lifting hard, it's doing hard intervals, and getting done, and getting in and out of the gym 3 days a week, not spending 6 days a week there doing an hour of cardio every day, and enjoying your days off, staying active on your days off, but you don't have to do structured training on your days off. The training is based on research-proven repetition training that shows more calories are burned after training session when you do 8 reps as opposed to 12 repetitions, and also based on the effectiveness of interval training. Interval training is at least as effective, if not more effective, than regular cardio training. And it's a heck of a lot more efficient. You don't have to spend 45 minutes doing it. You can be done in 20 minutes.
Craig, I see a lot on internet forums, you know, people are finally catching on to this high-intensity interval training. But, you know, like you said, it's all over the popular media that steady-state cardio is the way to go. And still you see some dissenters on the forums. Every now and then someone will pop in and say, okay, all you high-intensity interval training folks, what about cardiovascular fitness? Can you give us a little bit of ammunition to fight back to these guys who say that, yeah, you might be able to burn fat more with high-intensity interval training, but you might die at age 50 of a heart attack?
Well, that's not true. I mean, there's lots of people that haven't done a lick of exercise in their entire life and lived to 75 and 80 as long as they don't eat at KFC. So honestly, the nutrition is the most important thing probably in your longevity. And then simply exercising. And then as far as cardio being more effective for improving longevity versus interval training, I mean, there's just no evidence that suggests that. I mean, they use interval training and cardiac rehabilitation programs now. There's some research I saw on that. And it's just, you know, if you take a look at the general recommendations, it's just burn a set amount of calories per week, and that's going to help you increase your longevity. I mean, there's nothing that says you have to run 30 minutes 5 times a day. There's nothing that proves that you're going to live longer. I mean, it's as long as you're exercising, that's the most important thing. And then I just think that, I mean, there's certainly no way that slow cardio is going to make somebody live any longer than interval training. And if you take a look at stuff like HDL or C-reactive protein, it all responds to just losing body fat, exercising. So there's nothing about what exercise method is better.
Yeah.
So the health benefits of interval training are just going to be as good as regular cardiovascular training.
Yeah, and as Lucian was talking about.
The only reason to do long cardiovascular training is maybe for some relaxation benefits, or maybe if somebody wants to be an endurance athlete or some, you know, people say they're addicted to running long. Well, I mean, I wouldn't recommend being addicted to long bouts of endurance training. It's probably no better than being addicted to anything else. But if that's what you like, go ahead and do it. But people don't have to do that.
Right. I don't know if you caught Lucio.
You know, if they want to do longer stuff on their off days, go ahead. But, you know, for the whole premise of my training program is people don't have time to exercise. That's okay, because here's how you do it in 3 sessions of 45 minutes per week.
Sounds good.
Yeah, nutrition is, you know, as magical as I want to say my programs are, but the nutrition is probably the most important factor for general health and for fat loss. So I was just talking about that kind of blends in good to my next point, where I just want to say to people that they can drop the marathon mentality. And that's why one of the reasons I wrote my report, The Dark Side of Cardio and Other Ineffective Fat Loss Methods, which again you can get from the turbulencetraining.com website, because one of the dark sides is, who do you see in the physio offices and the chiropractic offices the most? You know, aside from office workers, it's endurance athletes, because they're doing the same muscle contraction, the same movement, thousands and thousands of times within a single workout. And if you can, you know, imagine it's like putting a magnifying glass under the sun over top of some kindling, and it just magnifies the effect of a small injury if you do something a thousand times per training session. If your ankle is slightly injured, or if you have a slight muscle injury and you train on that, you're going to get it hurt. So that is one of the big problems with cardiovascular training, long cardiovascular training, especially for beginners that, you know, peel themselves off the couch and start into even 60 minutes of walking 5 days a week. There's still thousands of repetitions in that training session. So by reducing the volume and using weight training and interval training, we can probably avoid some of those overuse injuries that are associated with the long cardiovascular training. So that's one of the things that I just want people to avoid. And then, as Kevin mentioned before, I have some advanced training, fat loss training programs, and I talked about that at the seminar as well, in that I'm really getting a lot of requests for more advanced and harder fat loss workouts from people that have gone through all my other programs. So for somebody to make like the advanced fat loss program that Kevin used, what we do is we use all components of training. We use some body weight training to start in our warm up. Then we go into some heavier strength training, so even a little bit heavier than the traditional turbulence training, 8 repetitions. So we might use 5 or 6 repetitions for total body main exercise. We might even use an Olympic lift in there, like a hang clean or a clean and press. And then we do some traditional turbulence training, like supersets of bodybuilding type exercises, like dumbbell presses combined with dumbbell rows. And then finish off with some more bodyweight circuit stuff, and then maybe even some barbell complexes. And if people don't know what that is, it's where you're doing, you start with an empty barbell and you do 4 or 5 exercises in a row without stopping. So you might start with the empty barbell on your back and do a set of 8 squats, and then do 8, pull it over your head and drop it down, do 8 barbell rows, and then do 8 RDLs, and then maybe 8 shrugs. And that's a complex. It's just a series of exercises that you would do with the barbell, and then you take a rest, and then you go through it again. So it's another form of interval training, putting what I call turbulence on the muscle, and that just means a stimulus to the muscle to increase its metabolism. So that was my presentation on the training day. And then on the business day, the Sunday, like I said before, this day was dedicated to helping all the trainers improve their business. So some people, they wanted to learn how to make more money with group training or even just training one-on-one. But I talked about building a profitable internet fitness website and newsletter. And that's the type of thing that I'm really, really interested in talking about and helping people out. So what I'm going to do, one of my future projects, which we're going to talk about in a second, is to put together an ebook of that presentation. And basically it shows trainers, and this is the, before I talk about that, the great thing about the internet method is that you can use it for anything. So you don't have to be a personal trainer to be interested in this. You could be someone who wants to sell jewelry on the internet, or if you want to get interest in a cause that you're trying to support. Anybody can use this proven internet method for building traffic and getting people to your website and passing information on. So what we what I showed them was how to determine their niche, because it's best to start with a niche and broaden out from there, as opposed to start too broad, because there's just a lot of stuff on the internet right now. So you really have to stand out, and you'll get more interest in a niche market than you would in a very general market. So after we helped, or I showed them how they would determine their niche, then we talked about building the site. And then the most important thing about having an internet website is a list. And I've talked to Kevin about this many times, because you really need to build your list, especially with something as great as the FitCast, is that if you have your list, you can lose everything else and you can still be okay, because you have a list of people that are interested in your niche. So if somebody said to me, you can never sell these your products again, that's okay. As long as I get to keep my list, I can just make another product. But to build that list up again would take a very, very long time. So the list is the key. It's the most important thing for you to have, and a lot of marketers would agree with that. And then from there, I talked about writing newsletters, writing for the people, making sure that they know what's in it for them. And by that, I mean what a reader wants to know what's in it for them. They don't, you know, I made the example that if nobody ever wrote another newsletter for their fitness website on muscle fiber types, the world would be a better place, because everybody writes that type of stuff, but nobody really wants to read about it except for other trainers that are interested in muscle fiber types. But the general population isn't interested in it, and they don't need to know that information. So you have to write what's in it for the reader. You know, you have to write something that's applicable to their life. You have to give them a tip. You have to give them an action step. Otherwise, they're not going to stay on your list. So you have to make it very interesting and applicable for them. And then we talked about how they would develop products like ebooks, automate their website, and continue to write and draw traffic to their website. So it was it's a very interesting topic to me, and that was my presentation for the people on the business day. And it seemed to go over pretty well. And like I said, it was a great component of the seminar, because nobody is offering that aspect of it in their fitness seminars, but that's what a lot of trainers need to know, just as much as the training information. You know, obviously they need to know how to help people train safely and effectively, but a lot of good trainers are kind of struggling because they don't know how to get the message about their training business out. So kudos to Evan for putting on the seminars. To do one of those things is a lot of work. I'd never attempted myself, but him and his crew put on a great seminar. Everything worked out very well. It ran very smoothly. And I think that the information passed on to the trainers was near priceless. So that's it for the seminar, if you guys have any specific questions.
That sounds great. I was just looking at the website that you mentioned, the fitnesseducationseminars.com.
Yeah.
It's got a list of all the presenters, yourself included, and a little bio on each. I just wish I could have gone. It looked like a fascinating seminar for sure.
Yeah, and he was already talking about doing next year, so I'm sure it'll be bigger and better.
It's going to be in Chicago again?
Yeah, it'll be in Chicago. That's where he's based. For the trainers, for any trainers that are listening that haven't already heard of or signed up for Ryan Lee's event, which is in Connecticut in September, that is probably, you know, if there was one event for a trainer to go to all year, that would be the one. And you can learn more about it at, I think it's RyanLeeBootcamp.com, or you might be able to hear, you'll definitely hear about it if you sign up for his newsletter at sportspecific.com. But Ryan's a master of helping trainers improve their business. So, and that Alan Cosgrove is going to be the main speaker at that. And from, I've never met him, but I've talked to him all the time, and he is not to be missed as a speaker. Very motivational, very inspirational, and very educational. So that weekend is very important for trainers because it's again a combination of business and training, new training information.
Well, that sounds good. I was wondering, Craig, do you know if there's going to be a DVD of the seminar?
No, there won't be.
Okay. And also, just want to double check, are there any other future projects or articles that we should keep a lookout for?
Yeah, I'm doing quite a few things now. A guy named Tom Venuto helped me with my website with newturbulencetraining.com, and I'll be contributing a report to one of his upcoming products that you'll be able to hear about from his website at burnthefat.com. But as for myself, I'm going to continue making my monthly workouts for workoutmanuals.com, updating my members section with new workouts. And probably the most exciting thing for me is the ebook on fitness websites. So I'm going to be working on that hopefully to finish up the next month. And that will be available through workoutmanuals.com and also through the membership section there. And then the requests seem to be coming in for programs at the extremes. So people either want more advanced fat loss training programs or they want stuff for absolute beginners, because I get a lot of emails from trainers on how to train, you know, the really obese individual that has literally done nothing in terms of fitness for years, and they're having a hard time making things even as beginner as possible for these individuals. So, I mean, you certainly couldn't send them out on 30-minute runs and doing long cardio anyways, but these beginner programs will need a lot of body weight exercises, and a lot of body weight exercises can be done lying down for beginners. So I'm going to be working on some real beginner training programs and also some more advanced body weight workouts, because there's quite a lot of people that are interested in that, because a lot of people can't make it to the gym every day or can't make it to the gym at all. So those are my main future projects.
Sounds great. And just to let everyone know, if you are listening to this at the gym, I'll have all the links that Craig mentioned on thefitcast.com in the show notes. And Craig, I do have to take your advice and get a newsletter started. I promise I will stop being lazy and I'll get on that as soon as I can, actually probably this week, and hopefully I'll have it set up by the next show.
I think it's great. I think you're giving great information out in the interviews and stuff. So definitely build the list up and keep on bringing this information to the people.
Definitely sounds good. That pretty much wraps it up for this week's show, episode number 10. I want to thank you all again for listening, subscribing through iTunes, and going through Podcast Alley. Again, like I mentioned, don't forget to go to thefitcast.com for all the show notes and links that were mentioned in this week's show. And again, look for episode number 11 with JP of jpfitness.com. Again, for this week, June 18th, 2006, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And I'm Craig Valentine.
We'll see you next week. Thanks again for downloading, and have a great week. Once again, thanks for downloading and listening to the Fitcast. Really enjoy doing the show, so I hope you enjoy listening to this show. And again, JP is going to be on the show next week, so look forward to that. Might be taking some user-submitted questions, but I am extremely excited to listen about how he has grown such an amazing fitness form. If you haven't checked it out, go to jpfitness.com, and there is a link to the forum from there. Some of the greatest names in fitness are really there, and it's probably where most of the Fitcast listeners hang out. And if you're picking this up through iTunes or Podcast Alley, it's definitely worth a look. I can't really recommend any other site more than I can his. He's a great guy. He's a great fitness summit, and again, just thanks for downloading. Please submit some reviews on iTunes, and we will see you next week on the Fitcast. Thanks. See you next time.